The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And we're back with our second hour, 12 noon Central, where we are. And of course, on our Hump Day edition here, we bring you Dr. Michael Garko, who's a nutrition advisor for Strauss Natural Products. And by the way, for those of you who weren't paying attention earlier, if you spend $300, you get $20 off your order. If you buy anything from North American Urban Spice and Strauss Natural. And of course, we need that support because we got to stay in the air through this year. I mean, this is crazy what is going on in this country right now. And we are trying to decipher what is going on. And we're mission critical on just about everything. But you need your help. That's important. If you were watching me live stream, you saw me taking the heart drops right here. These things are just loaded with all sorts of essentials, including aged garlic extract. Dr. Michael Garko, welcome back to the show, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be with you, and sounds like you guys are pretty animated and pumped up there.
Yeah, we're trying to be. You know, given the circumstances and everything that's going on in the country, I mean, people need to pay very close attention to their health. And so
sure.
I guess, you know, one of the things that we have been talking about are all these new plant-based meat substitutes. You know,
right.
It's not just like looking at the stuff going, wait a minute, you produce this stuff in a lab? No, I don't think so. And then we hear about meat glue and all sorts of other junk. And, you know, Red Lobster just went under. You know, I mean, you look at the situation with what, you know, what our options are as far as meat goes. I mean, what are we supposed to think as far as our future goes? I mean, you have to have some protein, don't you?
Well, okay. So, you know, this is a real interesting dilemma when you start talking about meat consumption and health and these new products, these products that have come out, and there's been a constellation of them, as you well know. And what I'm looking at here, you have the ultimate burger, the impossible burger, Beyond Burger, Dr. Prager's products, the California veggie burgers. So you have all of these different products coming onto the market that are plant-based. And the reason why they have found this kind of space in the marketing world is because of the consumption of red meat and its deleterious effect on human health and the environment. Most people don't put that second part together. That makes for an interesting conversation in and of itself. How is it that being a meat-based culture, having a meat-based culture, impacts the environment? We might get to that or not, I don't know. But when you start talking about meat with people, I'm reminded of Charlton Heston and his advocacy for gun rights. And the quote was, you know, if you recall, he said, "I'll give you my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead hands." And I said, I thought about that, and I said, people are probably saying, "I'll give you my burger when you pry it from my cold, dead hands." People don't want to give up those burgers, right? As a practicing clinical nutritionist, I have people show up in various stages of coronary artery disease. They have high blood pressure. They have arrhythmia. Cardiovascular, in terms of their cardiovascular health, they're a dumpster fire. And it's affecting the quality of their life and their health and what's going to happen to them. So, you know, this conversation about meat is provocative, and it brings out the best in people and it brings out the worst in people. And this study that was recently done, published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, the investigators took a look at how diets that are constituted of red meat, or real meat, excuse me, there's meat generally, there's red meat, then there's other kinds of meat, fish and chicken and whatnot, containing meat, compared to people that were eating a diet based that was more plant-based, what they're called plant-based meat alternatives. And the assumption that many people have is that if you move to a plant-based meat alternative, that you're going to do better with respect to your cardiovascular health and diabetes risk, for example. So diets that are rich in plant-based foods, now that's a different concept. I didn't say replacement for burgers. Diets rich in plant-based foods have been found to be beneficial for heart and metabolic health. You look across the world over the past several hundred years, cultures that have a plant-based diet, they tend to live longer, have less chronic diseases, and have better quality of life. Those data exist. They're real. However, when you start to make plant-based meat what they're called plant-based meat analogs, and animal meats, right? Now you got something different here. And in this study, what they found was that the impact of the plant-based meat analogs in the study didn't do as well as they thought they would compared to people that were eating regular meat, unprocessed meat. So this notion of replacing animal meat with these plant-based meat analogs does not necessarily mean that it's going to improve your heart health and reduce the risk of chronic diseases. In fact, the findings in the study showed that there were no significant changes in cholesterol profiles for either kind of diet, but both diets were linked to improvements in blood sugar markers. So eating a regular meat diet, there was an improvement in their blood sugar, and the plant-based meat analogs didn't show any advantage in lowering cholesterol or improving blood markers. So the benefits associated with plant-based meat diets might not directly apply to plant-based meat analogs, that's the point. You can't assume that because you made a product that was made out of plants to substitute for meat, that that's going to be just as effective as eating a plant-based diet. Turns out in this study that that's just not the case. I hope I made sense.
Well, yeah, you did. But see, the thing is I've eaten Dr. Prager's before, and that was before Impossible Meat and all the Impossible Burger and all this other junk came out. My understanding is that Prager's did not have mRNA in it. It was a plant-based veggie substitute, and I really liked the Korean burger. I really did. It had just a little bit of kick to it, but, you know, the thing is I thought it was healthy. It tasted okay. I did not see or understand that there was any mRNA in it. I mean, this is before all these other meats came out that they claimed that they were geoengineered or genetically engineered, excuse me. And that was a problem. You know, nowadays I can't trust anything other than, you know, going to your local butcher and trying to find out whether or not how your animals were raised, whether or not you have farm to table meat product. Did you give your animal grains that were treated with geoengineered corn or genetically engineered corn? How much of it is bioengineered? You know, people are starting to pay more attention to what they put in their body, which is another reason why Strauss is so popular, because it's got the aged garlic and a lot of other things in it that helps try to keep the arteries open.
Yeah, the compounds in the botanicals from Strauss, in particular, the heart drops, are called bioactive compounds. Bioactive compounds are something, you have vitamins and minerals. So the aged garlic extract, garlic, is not a vitamin or a mineral. It's a phytonutrient. So So we've referred to them as bioactive compounds. These bioactive compounds include polyphenols, flavanols, and all these different categories are very, very powerful in having an impact on health. And so the aged garlic extract with that constellation of herbs, these bioactive compounds, serve the system well. In fact, their blood pressure kidney support drops, over the past 2 weeks, I had three people contact me on the Strauss website. They went to Ask Dr. Garko when they went to the website, and they clicked on that link. And they got on to the blood pressure kidney support drops, as they're called. And I often recommend that they take that product with the heart drops. Well, three of these people were just taking the kidney support, blood pressure support drop products, and their blood pressure really dropped because they were also on the medication, right? And it dropped almost too low. And what I said to them was, you need to talk to your cardiologist to tell him to adjust if you're going to continue to take the medication, to reduce the dosage, because you don't need as much medication because the product is working. In fact, I've had a few clients to wean off certain medications. Their blood pressure wasn't horrible, but we were able to get them to a place where they were just taking a compound made from botanicals, and they were able to manage their blood pressure. So I know the products work because of this. Just this past 2 weeks, those three people, the kidney support blood pressure drops did lower their blood pressure, and it lowered it to the point where it was almost getting too low, and they had to tell the doc. The one person stopped taking their stopped taking her medication, and I said that's not necessarily a good idea without talking to your doctor first. Mm-hmm. So I know these products work with that kind of evidence.
Well, and the thing is, too, were these statin drugs that you were talking about?
Yeah, they were taking statins. Well, the statins are for cholesterol. They were taking blood pressure medications.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not unusual to have a person taking three different blood pressure medications at the same time. That's not uncommon because these different medications affect there's different mechanisms of action, and the doctors are trying to coordinate the kidneys, the lungs, and the cardiovascular system, trying to get those three systems to work together. Your kidneys play a huge role in your blood pressure. And so you'll see doctors prescribing multiple medications to control blood pressure. And I guess what I'm saying is that paradoxically, a piece of evidence for me to know that these products work is when people are taking either statins or they're taking blood pressure medication, they're taking the heart drops and the kidney blood pressure drops for those two systems respectively, that they start to see real improvement, almost too much improvement with the blood pressure, and that doctors have to cut back on the medication, which is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So there's blood pressure medications, and then there's statins. Statins are to lower cholesterol. So there are two different categories. It's interesting,
amazing,
isn't it, how
it is,
how this works?
I'm curious about this situation, because I've had people call the show, and they call the Power Mall. And word gets back to me from the Power Mall, and they're asking questions that it's like, look, the next time you have Dr. Garko on, would you please ask him? Because I know that Wayne Elliott has been on the show, and he's been promoting the fact that he takes the heart drops and the cardio formula. And it's like, okay, what's the difference? Why would they take the cardio formula? I know it's a supplement. Uh-huh. I know it's got different things in it. What is the cardio formula specifically designed to do that the heart drops don't do?
Okay, so your heart is an electrical system, and you know Wayne and others might be taking that product because of suffering from arrhythmia, irregular heartbeats, irregular heartbeat, and so on. And that product is intended to sort of put that electrical system back into balance, right? Your kidneys is a plumbing. It, It's a plumbing system. Your heart is an electrical system. Your heart's an electrical system, for real. And so electrolytes get involved in all this calcium and potassium and whatnot to keep the electrical charge in the heart and to keep the right rhythm and so on. That product that you mentioned, the cardio support, whatever they're calling it, is intended to keep that system in, for lack of a better way of saying it, in electrical balance. This is something on a more general level. This is really important. Every day, when while you're asleep and when you're awake, your body is trying to do one basic fundamental thing. Keep everything in balance in your body. Your cells, tissues, organs, and organ systems. It's constantly negotiating with itself to keep these different systems in balance. So when you have kidney disease, that's now going to affect your cardiovascular function. Or if you have heart disease, that's going to affect your kidney function. So your body is negotiating with itself to keep these two systems somehow to create homeostasis. So all day long throughout your life, your body's trying to do that. The second thing that's trying to do is make ATP, adenosine triphosphate. That's the energy currency of the body. No ATP, you die. You're done, right? So those two things are going on constantly. And what these medications are intended to do is to try to establish this homeostasis. So it turns out that these phytonutrients, these bioactive compounds in herbs, also can do that, trying to get this body to put itself back into balance, the cardiovascular system or your kidneys. And the other principle here is the body does not heal itself by itself. It needs something to do it with. It doesn't, as I often say, it doesn't do that out of the ether. It can heal itself, but you have to give it the material to do the repair and to do the rebuild. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen, and it will use what you give it. If you feed it saturated fat loaded with cholesterol, it's going to use that to build the bioactive layer. Whatever building materials, so to speak, that you give it, that's what it's going to use to try to do the repair. So that's why you want to have a good diet, and that's why when you take products like the heart drop, the kidney support drops, you're giving the body the materials for it to get those systems back into balance. I hope that made some sense.
It does. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, you know, because people constantly ask why I need the cardio support in addition to buying the heart drops. And that's one of the big questions that we get a lot at the Power Mall when people call up.
If they have arrhythmia, if they have electrical problems, that's the product to take. I often in my practice, I don't have any labs on their kidneys. I don't know for sure. But I know that there's a high correlation, for example, between kidney disease and heart disease and vice versa. So an abundance of caution, depending on the age and health status of the person, I often will recommend that they take both products. And it helps, especially with patients or clients that have high blood pressure. I'll recommend the kidney support blood pressure drops and the heart drops.
Okay, now as far as diabetics go, where are we at on the Strauss line?
Diabetes is an insidious disease because it's going to contribute, if not manage, you've got to manage it. Insulin's a hormone. It works for you or it can work against you. And so diabetes, there's a correlation between diabetes and heart disease, for example. Diabetes is a primary disease, but it can lead to other secondary other conditions that are not so secondary. It just turns out that way. Of course, you have peripheral neuropathy that can go on with diabetes, all sorts of things, because the vascular system is being deteriorated. And so if you have diabetes, with clients that have diabetes, they often have heart cardiovascular issues as well. And so that's where the heart drops come in, and also affects their kidneys. So diabetics are well served to take products such as the heart drop, the kidney blood pressure support drops, because the diabetes is affecting these other systems. Diseases are not, it may occur in a particular organ or organ system, but they don't necessarily stay compartmentalized in that organ or organ system. They start to affect the functioning of other systems because all the systems in the body are interdependently connected. They're not independent of one another. They're interdependent with one another. And that's what makes the system, our bodies biologically so magnificent, but it also, in a paradoxical way, creates a lot of issues when you have one system of the body that's really diseased. And you will have a hard time living a long life with quality of life if you're suffering from cardiovascular disease or your kidneys are going sideways on you too. You're going to really, really struggle. You can get by with arthritis. You can get by with some of these diseases and live a long time, but you're not going to get by and live a long time if your kidneys start to give way to disease and your heart and your vascular system give way. It's biology, man. That's just how it is. That's why I make a big deal about if you want to age successfully, take care of your cardiovascular system, take care of those kidneys.
Makes sense. Now, as far as what's happening now, a lot of people are taking vacations. They're traveling. The 3.4 fluid ounce bottle of the travel bug probably would be a good thing to take in addition to what? Or do you take it? I mean, you just take the travel bug when you go out, or you take your 3.4 heart drops? I mean, give me a regimen that would work.
Yeah. So, I went to the Dominican Republic a while back. I spent a week there. And I, of course, I took my supplements with me, and I packed them in the suitcase. And I took the heart drops, and I took the immune support, and I took the travel bug. The travel bug is interesting because in traveling, sometimes you can get nauseous and whatnot. It helps with that, but it also supports the immune system. So that's why I like the travel bug. It will help fend off, some of these things that you can pick up, these bugs, so to speak, viruses and bacteria when you're traveling. I took the immune support and the travel bug with me when I was in the Dominican Republic of Punta Cana for a week. It was lovely there, but, when you travel, going to Mexico, I would make sure I would take immune support, travel bug, and bring it by the gallons because the water, and you're constantly, I've been to Mexico a few times, and fortunately I never got sick, but the people I were traveling with, one person I didn't know, I mean, I was really worried about this person getting back to the States. I really had a horrible case of diarrhea, which can get out of control, take your life. So when you're traveling, it's no joke. You make sure that you take the right thing. If you're taking these kind of products, to take them with you. Now you got to be careful when you get on a plane. You can't be taking, the liquids. You have to follow the regulations. So I often just put them in my suitcase.
Yeah. Well, see, and the thing too is, I mean, Montezuma's Revenge is what most people get when they drink the water down there, because the water is definitely not sanitary, but. See, the thing is about the Dominican Republic and Punta Cana, we've heard so many horror stories about people, getting into those little refrigerators that they have in the rooms, and the next thing you know, they're carrying their bodies out. So I'm not exactly sure, how to address that. I just have not a real big fan of that. I'd rather travel to Ireland. I had more fun over there than I did going to the Dominican Republic.
you have to remember the Dominican Republic is a third world country.
Yep.
And there's a lot of poverty there. And where I stayed was a very high-end resort. What I saw of the Dominican Republic was the limousine drive from the airport to the resort, the gates closed, and then all I saw for the remainder was the resort and the Caribbean Sea. And it was beautiful. The service was great. The people were wonderful. They were kind, generous. I had a good time. It was good to play. You don't go there to sightsee. You go there to decompress.
Makes sense.
Would I go back? Probably. But I love going to Europe, and I travel. And when I travel, I make sure that I take the things that I always take. I take them with me. I know if I have to, if it means an extra suitcase, whatever, I'll do it. You don't quit your protocols when you're traveling. In fact, you want to make sure your immune system is vital. That's where the Strauss products are really nifty. You got the immune support, the travel bug, cold storm, all those different products are immune support products, and they're terrific. Look, at the end of the day, the truth be told, people are going to be on medications. And I constantly get questions about, are there contraindications with this, with these products, with medications? Most of the time, the majority of the time, there are no contraindications. And that's what's nice about these botanicals. They work well with, I believe if I have a patient whose blood pressure is that of a genius, you know, it's 200 and plus, and they're on medications, it would be irresponsible of me to say, you should stop your medications. I would have my license pulled if I did that. Yeah. So I know they're going to take their medications, but I also know I can have them do the cardio products, the heart drops, and the kidney product, that kidney blood pressure product. They can take them together. You can take nutraceuticals with pharmaceuticals. You can do it. And sometimes it's a better option than taking a pharmaceutical with another pharmaceutical. So wherever I can make headway with a person, I'll do it. And if I can get them to reduce the medication level, I've been successful. My goal is not to get them off of the medication. My goal is to make sure that they're healthy, and you know they don't have a heart attack or don't vapor lock or whatever. And if I can use nutraceuticals to complement what they're already doing, I consider that successful. So I guess my message is, I look for all practical means of therapy to help my clients, and I happen to be a nutritionist, so that's what I use. Doctors use pharmaceuticals. I use nutraceuticals.
Right, and see, the thing is it seems like, and we've only got about a minute left here, it seems like you have an ongoing battle with the mainstream medical industry because they all want to give synthetic big pharma while you're sitting there pushing, you know, nutrition and Strauss, which are all natural, botanical type product. And so, you know, I brought this up yesterday on the show, is that we just seem to be in a battle over who we trust. We either trust what we're doing, taking the botanicals to stay healthy, or we're going to trust in modern medicine and take synthetics until we die. And then we're caught in the middle of Medicare and all these other issues that really just it boggles the mind, sir.
Your point's well taken. I think I was on CBS. Oh, we're out of time. Okay. So yeah. We'll talk next time. But somebody asked me an interesting question. What's the biggest health mistake people make? And I had to think about that. Nobody ever asked me that. And I said, they think everybody else is going to get sick. And consequently, they wait. They wait too long. And then the disease process gets so out of control, they're forced to take pharmaceuticals. And then they show up with me and I'm trying to help with them. It's almost too late then.
Yeah, I get it. All right. Dr. Michael Garko, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you, and thank you for all your service and the good things you do for people. We'll be back with Fred Jaschewski from U.S. Coin Capital after these important words. Stay with us.
For your eyesight, there is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good. It supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself. Come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamir toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon, our time here on the hump day edition of the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. And, you know, it's really, our board op, Todd, just makes this thing happen, man. I mean, he's playing the Fred Dyshefsky U.S. Coin Capital commercial right before we bring the man of the hour on. Fred Dyshefsky, how are you, sir?
I am doing well. Good to see you again, Dave.
For sure. Now, I've gotten articles, I've gotten phone calls, and people are telling me the silver market has gone crazy and it's escalated and silver's over 30. And I'm like, should have bought it when it was low. The coulda, shoulda, woulda mode. Now, what's going on with the silver market? Explain that, if you would.
Sure. Well,
I know you got a pulse on it.
We can proverbially say that, you know, we should have, could have, would have. I mean, going back as far back as you want to look, every time we've seen silver hit a particular price, it always has turned out historically to have been a buying opportunity because nothing has happened except it has progressed forward. So on the back of the pressures of what's been happening economically around the world, just since the last time we had an episode here, which was a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. You know, silver's jumped from $27. We saw $32 silver yesterday. And we have a little bit of a sell-off today on a little profit taking. Gold had crossed 2,400, started the year barely at 2,000. So, you know, silver is up for the year about 30%. And gold, even with the little pullback today, about 15 or 16% higher than the first of the year. And again, we're seeing tremendous amount of acquisition going around the world. And many people now are starting to line up saying that, you know, they're looking at things like an actual return to a gold standard becoming more of a popular conversation. And, you know, I've talked about this a lot. I think this would be a wonderful thing for America to have returned at some point to a standard where we can't just simply inflate money. The problem, of course, has been for any government to really be able to sustain maintaining that standard. So of all the countries that are experimenting with this, we've talked about Zimbabwe, probably the worst currency implosion in history. I mean, probably even worse than the Weimar Republic after World War One. The Zimbabwe note got so bad they ended up printing a $1 trillion Zimbabwe note. And now Zimbabwe is exploring the idea of trying to tie their current currency to a gold standard. Nobody believes that they'll be able to do it. But there is a growing sentiment to return to some form of metal standard because of the abusive nature of what governments have been doing, being that they're unable to operate unbacked. And we're seeing the results of that with higher metal prices continually to shine, no pun intended, you know, as we move forward. So, yeah, silver actually tapped $32 and change, and gold now $2,400. And even with today's little retraction, we're still over $31 an ounce silver and just under $2,400 today on gold.
Wow. So, you know, it's funny you had mentioned the Zimbabwe notes because I'm holding a couple of trillion in Zimbabwe notes right now.
You have one? Yeah, that's right.
I have a bunch of them, sir. My friends bestow them upon me just to say, here, you need this for a backstop. And I'm going, oh, God, are we going to do this dinar thing again? I mean, you know, this is a thing that's gone on in the Patriot movement and everybody's putting their faith in the dinar. And I'm like, come on, people, you're looking at foreign currency and what's going to happen when they all join the BRICS movement. Because, I mean, do you see this happening over time, that people are going to start getting away from the petrodollar?
Well, it's certainly likely. You know, we have a lot of pressure on the U.S. dollar because, you know, it's almost by default that foreign countries are forced to use it. So if it weren't for things like the Treaty of Versailles or the Bretton Woods Convention, there are a lot of countries that would never have wanted to use U.S. dollars, but they are forced to because we've required dollars to be used to make certain acquisitions, gold and silver, oil, things of that nature for those that participate. And of course, any country that wants to buy a U.S. investment like a U.S. bond because of the yield that it pays has to convert that currency into dollars first. So we do create tremendous demand for the U.S. dollar. Other than that, though, people are looking at this and trying to step back and say, well, yeah, we have to use the dollar, but does it really make any sense? What's the status of the dollar currently? You know, we're $34 plus trillion in debt. The amount of it relative to GDP is climbing. There's $300 trillion in total global debt. And this stuff is becoming alarming to a lot of people that pay attention. And those that do and know a little bit about history, you know, have seen what happens, things like the Weimar Republic or the Zimbabwe currency, and what'll happen when it completely implodes. And a lot of people don't want to be standing there, you know, at the end of that line saying, shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know, should have recognized that there was this flaw. Now, I have been of the belief for decades, and I have not really changed this yet, that I think it unlikely that the U.S. dollar implodes completely. I think the more likely scenario is a lot of inflation built into its value, but we continue to see dollars used and utilized, just having a much weaker buying power. And that's the thing that encourages me to recommend that those that are holding capital now add some physical, real, tangible wealth in the form of silver and gold coins. And silver looks to me still remarkable. I mean, we were at 87 to 1 on the gold to silver ratio 2 weeks ago. The recent uptick in silver has put us down to about 77 to 1. But still, that reflects an opportunity, I think, in future growth in the silver price that makes it very conducive for those that want wealth protection to add.
Yeah, see, and there's so many things going on in the world right now. I mean, you got people converting to BRICS, trying to move away from the dollar. You got China cashing in all these treasuries. They don't want to be holding them. they're trying to open businesses in the United States of America, especially this battery plant in Michigan that everybody got voted against. They tried to stop it, and they can't. And the CCP is going to be running a lot of it. And they're going to be getting their marching orders from Beijing. So I'm looking at this whole scenario. It's like, look, they want to invest in America because they see its wealth, yet they want to try to, you know, destroy it by parking them close to military installations or whatever the case may be. I know that's more, you know, geopolitical. And I know you've studied some of that because you did take political science like myself. And so you see a lot of this stuff. It's really hard to predict the geopolitical outcome. But when you start looking at what their intent is, and that is to produce these lithium batteries for Chinese vehicles, which they want to bring in here. And that's why they're jacking up the tariffs. I mean, all of this has something to do with the acceptance of the dollar. So there's kind of a two-part thing here. Besides the acceptance of the dollar from other people as they continue to do, how's the IMF reacting to all of this pushback?
Well, you know, the IMF stands as the bank's reserves to central banks that fail. So the IMF has to take a cautious approach to this, because if they continue to bail everybody out, they're going to be in a position where they themselves are going to have funding problems. So, you know, all these countries contribute to the International Monetary Fund for that purpose. At the end of World War II, we established the IMF so that, you know, in the events of these massive central bank implosions, there would be a lender of last resort that they could approach and say, can you help us? And the IMF has stepped in, but obviously it has to become more cautious moving forward. And as you mentioned with the Chinese, it's a really interesting dynamic, because we are the largest consumer of Chinese goods and services. So we are effectively their best customer. Now, you don't want to do anything to chop the legs out of your best customer, because you want them to continue to buy all your, you know, Chinese products, whether they be quality or crap. They still need to export those here. And we start to face some battles, like, you know, within the steel industry, for example, there's a lot of pushback to say, well, they don't want the importation of this Chinese steel because it undercuts the availability of steel manufactured in the U.S., and that hurts the U.S. economy. So there's this, you know, dual-edged sword here. China wants to sell us lots of product, and the U.S. is somewhat resistant. But, of course, you know, we do support the idea that China will sell us goods and services, because, as you mentioned, China likes to buy U.S. Treasury securities, and we need them to continue to load up on those. You know, we don't want to reverse that situation. We are in an intertwined dynamic. And, you know, the political part of it and the economic part of it, they get muddled a lot. And it does get confusing and difficult to assess what might happen in the future. And this is somewhat of a concern for me, because if we're left to having to define the value of our currency based upon these exterior political events that may or may not occur, or changes that might occur, the growth of this idea of BRICS, you know, the idea that there is anything that is growing as a method to try to produce something that would counter the U.S. dollar or be an alternative to the U.S. dollar, you know, we've pushed back on that for 60 or 70 years, you know, and perhaps we're beginning to lose that battle. And that would be rather dangerous going forward for the U.S. dollar.
But would, I mean, this is the thing about CBDCs, which is the next biggest worry besides blockchain and how they're going to control all of this. The thing is, Florida Governor DeSantis signed a law in Florida that basically prohibits CBDCs from being used in Florida. And so other states may join in when they start to see the threat manifest itself. Where do you see the threat? Is there one, or is this just something they're trying to scare us with?
Well, I consider there's a couple of things involved here. Whenever you change the nature of money, you have a fundamental issue that affects everybody. I don't know that any governor is going to be able to actually stop the system. If the Federal Reserve decides that they're moving in that direction, I don't think the government has authority within just the states to reject it. I just don't think they have the authority. So I think that's going to be a losing battle. I worry about a central bank digital currency for a couple of reasons. Most importantly, of course, there's the sovereign problem of us losing our ability to conduct private commerce. That is completely out the window as soon as we move electronic, because no transactions then would be able to be occurring without record. And government interference is there. So you look at the system and say, you know, right now I can meet you in a parking lot and you can hand me a briefcase full of cash, and I can hand you some goods and services, and we go our separate ways. Well, who knew about that transaction besides you and I? No one, unless you and I tell somebody. We still have this ability. Now, if we move to a digital system, that's gone. There is no ability anymore to conduct even the smallest transactions privately. And what a lot of people are worried about, and I think, you know, maybe it's a little Orwellian, but it certainly falls within the parameters of what seems to be quote unquote normal these days. If you give the government the authority to control all of the money and regulate every transaction, what is to stop them from regulating people with that power? So to see government control take over because they now can control currency and every activity that occurs, to me, is extremely dangerous and goes completely contrary to the idea of privacy and personal wealth protection and all of the things that were established on the Constitution of the United States with the founding fathers' thoughts and processes. I think we're moving so far away from that now to become concerned. I think we're moving into dangerous territory. And although I understand the technological advancement of moving digital, and you know they can espouse all of the reasons why this would be beneficial and the simplification and how everything would work more smoothly, and I'm sure they will promote it from a convenience standpoint, which is how they push everything on the public. They sell us on the idea that somehow this is more convenient, but what we don't recognize is the stripping of our privacy by virtue of all of these things. And you know we can think about it in terms of, you know, the simplicity of like a Google search and things of that nature. We know how these things are tied in now. Everybody knows that you do a Google search for a pair of shoes, and the next thing, I don't care what website you're on, you're going to see an ad for shoes, even if the next website was totally unrelated to anything in apparel. It's because they track and follow. And that has expanded so dramatically that control over the economy is falling into the hands of those with the information, which has now become the most powerful resource in the world. It has actually surpassed oil now. Information is the number one commodity. So if we move digital, my fear is that all of the information that's available is now in the government's ability to look at and decide. And, you know, again, I've made some funny, you know, thoughts about it, like you're trying to order a pizza. And under the system, the government says, well, we have your medical records and we think your cholesterol is too high. So we think you should buy a salad. So we are not going to approve that purchase. We're going to reject it. So you won't be able to make a transaction because the government has stepped in and decided it wasn't in your best interest. These are the kinds of things that become very possible if we move to this digital system. I hate that idea that we lose all of the financial privacy because of a technological advancement.
Well, this is the thing that we keep preaching about technocracy, and what they're trying to say is you will own nothing and you will be happy. But Klaus Schwab, as of today, just announced to everybody that he is stepping down as executive director of the World Economic Forum. That doesn't mean anything is going to change. They still, Dennis Meadows and everybody at the Trilateral and the Club of Rome and whatnot, still have their agendas, and they want to depopulate the world. And one way to do that is to get everybody to turn on each other. He wants to do it peacefully. I don't see any resolve to that. But here's the thing. Every time that they mess with somebody's currency, and this is something Rothschild said a long time ago, give me control of a nation's currency, I don't care who makes the laws. Exactly. So, you know, when we look at stuff like this, and I mean, you're as well read on this subject, more so than I am, but I'm looking at this thing, Fred, and you as an expert. And this is one of the reasons why people need to get a hold of Fred if you have questions on this. He and his team are very well versed at uscoincapital.com to answer the kinds of questions and steer you in the right direction. You know, at a point in time, I would have to ask this question because you deal in $1,000 purchases. How much face value gold can I buy for $1,000?
Well, right now, not a lot. You know, with gold at $2,400 an ounce, obviously even a quarter ounce coin is going to cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $700 or $800. And of course, the premiums on small size gold coins actually are a little bit higher than the larger ones. So there's not a lot of wiggle room there with gold. Silver is amazing at this point because as the price has been climbing, and we've talked a little bit about this, those premiums on the just generic pre-65 dimes and quarters and halves have continued to compress. We're seeing incredible opportunity for people to acquire silver coins because the cost over just the metal they're made of is as close as it's ever been in my 40-year history. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for people to buy. And, you know, I think about things like I have this quote, all the perplexities, confusion, and distress in America arise not from the want of honor or virtue, so much as from the downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and currency. Now, that was John Adams in the 1790s. That's how far back this goes. This is how early many people recognize the problem of what would happen if we don't have a solid foundation of a monetary system. And now what we experience in the current world, I mean, I can't imagine what the founding fathers would think if they could envision what would have happened as the centuries would evolve to exactly what they were saying in the 1790s that they wanted to prevent, because they could see it coming. It was that obvious even then that if you lose control over monetary system, the public is the one that loses. The only thing I can think of these days to counterbalance this problem is for individual Americans to have some real tangible wealth. If we don't protect ourselves, what we are waiting for then is the government to do it for us. And I think that is a losing proposition.
Definitely. Now, here's the other thing, Fred. You know, they took us off the gold standard in 1975. Nixon did that. So looking at history and looking at the fact that we've got runaway spending that is just driving inflation crazy, these people are not going to stop. They're obviously using it for a certain reason. We think it's going overseas and then coming back under the table to be used against we the people. Do you ever see us getting back on a gold standard, or do we have to get control of our budget first and get rid of these high deficits for that to even happen? I mean, is it even possible?
Well, therein lies the rub. So as I mentioned, there is a strong growing consensus that, you know, countries should move back to a gold standard. The reason that they're thinking this way is because of all the things that we're talking about. Can it be done? That's a whole nother question. And this is the reason I have suggested, in my opinion, that it is unlikely that the U.S. would ever return to a gold standard, as smart as it would be. And as intelligent as it would be for somebody to promote this idea, I think fundamentally to make it actually work in the real world seems extremely unlikely to me, because it means now that we've constrained government from spending money it doesn't have or being able to inflate the value of currency in order to make up gaps between what it spends and what it brings in. You know, we had 180 years of a gold standard in America. It ran from the 1790s to the early 1970s, and we experienced very little inflation during a 180-year period of American history. And if you look at what's happened since the 70s, the devaluation of currency has been massive and has occurred in relatively a rapid period of time. I realize the 1970s seems like a long time ago for a lot of people, but when you think about it going back to the 1790s, you know, it's a microcosm of a second in the terms of long-term look. So I think what we're experiencing right now is going to accelerate and get much worse. And I think the idea of returning to a gold standard is fantastic. But the reality of whether or not that could actually be done, to me, I put the odds at near zero.
Oh, no. Well, see, and here's the other thing, too. You were talking about the 70s being when everything started to shift. I have noticed just by watching, you know, like Carrie Dent and other people, other economists like that, and I'm sure you look at the Dent method.
Sure.
But I'm watching the cycles, and as they devalued the dollar, the cycles got more extreme. That makes sense?
It does make sense. The size of the problem has massively increased because, you know, even in the 90s, during the Reagan years, you know, you're talking about, well, the late 80s and early 90s, you're talking about deficits that were barely in the billions of dollars. You know, when we hit the first $1 trillion in debt, you know, people went nuts and said, well, this has got to be the end of it, right? But here we are now, $34 trillion in debt. And where will we be in the next 7 or 8 years? I've already said, if we don't see $50 trillion in total debt within the next 9 years, I'm going to be shocked. I'm absolutely certain that's going to happen. And if we do the math and just simply look at that, what does that mean to what the value of a dollar will look like in 8 or 9 years compared to today? People should be accumulating physical wealth because you have to protect against what is inevitable. This is as clear as a train coming down the tracks heading for you, and you are standing in the middle of the track. You can see the train coming. It is not slowing down. There's no way to stop it. It's too close. If they slammed on the brakes right now, it would still run you over. You cannot remain there. You have to move off the track. And the track in this case is the acceptance of the notion that there's nothing wrong with the dollar and that it's okay to buy CDs and invest in treasuries, which, again, I think is fine for a portion of people's wealth, but you have to counterbalance that. People just need to recognize the government cannot get its way out of this debt situation without printing money. There's no political solution anymore left. Yeah. There's nothing they can change. No president can come in to office and come up with a solution. I don't hear anybody who's even offered anything close to solving the national debt problem. What I've heard are people who propose things that might slow down the rate of spending or perhaps balance it out to the point where we're not adding to it anymore. But that doesn't negate the fact we're still sitting on this huge pile of debt that's going to have to be addressed. We can't grow our way out of the problem. We can't tax our way out of the problem. We can't reduce spending enough to get ourselves out of the problem. The only thing to do is print money.
Yeah, see, and that's a problem. That's why you need to give Fred Jastrzewski a call and let him explain all this to you. He and his staff are there to take care of you. The toll-free number is 1-800-878-2646, U.S. Coin Capital. That's OL.com. You need to get there, and you need to make the investment because, see, here's the thing. We the people is the only reason why this currency is staying where it is, folks. We the people have put our full faith in this fiat currency, and that's why we have to start balancing the equation here on our own because the government, like Fred just said, is not going to do it for you.
And I think Fred, we're all more empowered. The more of us that own physical wealth, the better off we all are.
And we appreciate you, Fred Jastrzewski. Thanks so much for joining us here. We're out of time for today, folks. But in the meantime, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Amen.
Do something nice for somebody today.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like